I've been meditating on precious cargo or precious weights. Many times we think of weights as something that's not good, right? Something that isn't pleasant. But you know, people that work out, they carry weights, don't they? They pick up heavy things and you think that they had a love affair with it, with the weights. They pick them up, they're really into pumping up and lifting up weights. Why? Because they know that in lifting up those weights, carrying what they would look at as precious weights, they're going to build some muscle, some mass. They're going to be stronger, amen? And you would almost think they have a love affair with those weights, lifting them up and on their legs and doing exercises. Well, I'm thankful that in Jesus Christ there are precious weights, weights that we as Christians carry every day. Amen. And then there's special weights that He gives us from time to time to carry for a special time, for a special moment, so that He can make us stronger in that specific area in our lives. Amen? Thank the Lord. We read of in Luke chapter 1. In verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Most of us know this time and what it signifies. It was a time when this angel came to a very special virgin. We're not like the Catholics. We don't worship Mary, but we do appreciate her. We do honor her for her willingness to bear in her body a precious weight. Amen? Thanks the Lord. It says in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Are you one of those today that is carrying a special weight in your inner being? Do you know the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory? Paul said that I travail until Christ be born in you. Amen? I'm thankful that the time came in my life when I saw that precious life and I wanted it in my life. The time when I saw it in the lives of others and I wanted that life of Christ in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Many women, when they are bearing a child, carrying a child in their womb, expecting a child, some women complain. Oh, my feet are swollen and oh, my back hurts. But I've seen those women that thought that they couldn't have children, that they thought would never have children. I usually have not heard them complaining. They're thanking the Lord that He did a miracle that now they can carry a child, that soon a new member will be added to the family. Amen? Yes. They don't take it for granted. And you know, I'm thankful for the day that I understood that I was going directly to hell, that I had no hope, I had no chance of being saved apart from, like we heard today, repenting and putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I realized that I had no hope, I was willing to do anything, whatever it took. Amen? I was willing to allow this precious weight to enter my heart and to be born again. Amen? Yes. When women are expecting and carrying this weight, there's certain unnecessary loads that they will no longer carry. They cannot go to a grocery store and pick up two heavy bags of groceries because they can hurt the baby. They can cause that baby to be aborted naturally. Too many weights. There's things that they don't pick up any longer. Now the husband tries to help her carry the heavy things. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know, there's certain weights that the Lord does not want us to carry. They're not precious weights. There's the load and the weight of our past sin. There's heavy cares, wondering, am I going to make it financially through this month? My healing, I've got cancer. He doesn't want us worrying about having enough money to go to the doctor. He wants us to have faith. Amen. That He's going to be our doctor. Praise He's going to be our medicine. He's going to be our healer. And if He's not, to have enough faith that He's going to give us the grace, like He said to Paul, when he asked him three times to remove that thorn, we don't know what it was. But He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're thankful. Praise the Lord. That there are mothers that do not complain when they carry this burden of expecting a child in their life. Amen. Are we here some that are murmuring and complaining because of the hardships that we might encounter, persecution, denying ourselves, misunderstandings with the world not loving us, shunning us, and it seems like a heavy burden because of the weight, the burden that we are carrying in our hearts, this precious life of Jesus. Amen? May the Lord help us to not carry unnecessary weights that are going to do damage Amen. To the life of Christ in us. Amen? Yes. You know that there are some people that carry the weight of unforgiveness in their hearts.
Yes, that's right.
They have unforgiveness towards their mom, their dad, their brother, their sister, their aunt that they hardly ever see because she looked at them just a little bit funny that day. And they can't forgive her. They can't forgive him. Do you know that if we carry that unnecessary weight, burden of unforgiveness in our lives, it is going to do damage to the life of Christ in us?
Right.
We're going to be bitter. We're not going to have the unity of the Spirit with others if we are not willing to humble ourselves. Jesus said that if we don't forgive, neither will He forgive us.
That's right.
If we don't forgive, the Father in heaven will not forgive us. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God."
Amen.
It's up to us to go to the person and say, "Forgive me, what did I do?" Yeah. I've learned that. I'm always the first one to go. Sometimes I don't know that people have something against me, but that's their fault. They should have come into me and said, "Brother Tony, you offended me when you said thus and thus. Brother Tony, you offended me when you did thus and thus." But they're carrying an unnecessary weight. When so easy that they could come to Brother Tony and Brother Tony would hug him and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, forgive me. I, by the grace of God, I hope to not say it again. By the grace of God, I hope not to do it again."
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen? We can carry unnecessary burdens like a woman can carry an unnecessary burden that is going to cause her to abort that life that she has in her.
That's right.
Extra
That's
strain, right. extra effort, and that baby is going to be lost.
That's right.
Mary, thank the Lord, she left it all to the Lord. She didn't carry any unnecessary weights or burdens. She left it all to the Lord.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And that life of Christ came to fruition in her life. It bore fruit. It was the Savior of the world. Amen. Thank the Lord. You know, it really shocks me in Juarez, Mexico, to see so many pregnant women in the streets doing drugs, smoking, drinking alcohol. Do you know that a woman that really loves, appreciates that burden, that precious burden, that new life that she's bearing in her womb, you know what she will do? She'll change what she digests and takes in.
Amen.
If she did drugs and she's really a mother that cares about that new life in her, what do you think she's going to do with that cocaine? She's going to get rid of it. She's not going to do it any longer.
Yes.
What do you think that she's going to do with those cigarettes? She's going to throw them away. If she really understands and comprehends that what she is smoking in and digesting and taking into her system is going to do damage to that new life in her. Amen?
That's right.
I'm shocked at some people how they would smoke, do drugs, and drink alcohol knowing that it could give, when that baby is born, he's going to be born defective with defects in it. Some are born without a nose, without an ear. Part of their lips missing, an arm missing, fingers missing, deformed because they smoked or they did drugs, they consumed drugs. Amen?
Amen?
Do you know that the same thing should apply to us as Christians? I've been shocked often to see some young children, even some of the saints' young children, later on, I sat with them 3 years in the services and later on confessed that they were doing drugs.
Yes.
Doing drugs. And they thought somehow that it would not deform somehow or affect somehow their spiritual walk with Christ. That precious burden inside of them. They thought somehow that Christ in them, Christ in you, the hope of glory, would not be affected if you are smoking, doing drugs, and doing alcohol. I've been shocked. I've been surprised. Because we as God's people should be holy. Jesus said, God said, "Be holy for I am holy."
That's right.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, amen, that you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify the Lord in your body and in your spirit and in your body,
amen.
I've been shocked in Juarez, Mexico to see women doing drugs, knowing, later on I hear, "I lost the baby." I said, "Why?" Because I took an overdose of drugs and I lost the baby, amen. We cannot assume that we as God's people, or even those that are listening, there might be some of you new here, that have just started coming. You think that you can be a Christian, have that precious burden inside of you, and still keep on abusing your body and that everything's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. You're going to lose the life of Christ in you. That's called sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. A woman that is expecting a baby, everything changes about her. The way she sleeps. They have to sometimes sleep on their side. They don't sleep the same way. They don't walk the same way. They don't go to the same places they did before. They don't do the same things they did before. There's certain things they cannot do any longer while they're bearing in their bodies that precious baby. Amen? They could do damage to the baby. I'm thankful that from a young child, when I gave my life to the Lord, my family, we were born going to dances, going to the movies. We were raised that way. I'd play cars and eat cake, and my mom and dad would be dancing, and all that dust from the streets coming up and dancing with the worldly music. But you know, when I came of age and I understood what the Bible was saying, to be come ye out from among them and be separate, I stopped going to those dances with my family. I stopped going to those weddings with them because I knew that I had a life in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that if I kept on going to those places, I was going to do damage to my spiritual life in me. Amen? I was going to do damage to that life of Christ in me. Amen? Praise the Lord. A woman that really loves the life that she is carrying in her will stop going to certain places, will stop doing certain things. She'll be more careful in the way that she does things, because she could do damage to that baby. Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful for Mary that was willing to bear it in herself, a precious cargo, a precious burden, a precious weight. Amen? Do you consider the life of Christ in you today precious? I do.
Amen?
Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the peace and the joy and the contentment. And yes, my life has been altered. There's places that I cannot go to any longer and not affect the life of Christ in me. There's things that I cannot consume. Thank the Lord I never did drugs. I never did smoke. I never did drink alcohol. Because I understood. It says in Galatians 5, know ye not. It gives a long list and it says, know ye not that the drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen? That's what it says. Galatians 5, read it. When I knew that, that stopped me from ever taking my first beer. My father offered me my first beer at age 14. And I told him no. He says, aren't you a man? And I said, yes, but not that kind of man. I said, you can offer me a soda, but not, I'm not going to drink that beer. And to this day, I have not tasted wine or any kind of alcohol. Praise and glory to God, because I do not want to do damage to this precious burden that I am carrying about in my body. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We read in Luke chapter 2:27. Luke 2:27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. It's talking about Simeon, a very old man. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Who had he seen? Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is your salvation.
That's right.
How are you treating that new life in you? Are you doing and saying and acting and going and consuming things that are going to affect that life of Christ in you? Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people of Israel. Praise the Lord. It says, and Simeon blessed them. Praise the Lord. I don't read of Simeon complaining when he lifted up that little weight burden. How many people do you know that complain when they hold a little baby in their arms? Most of them. I've seen when a woman has a baby, all the women want to hold the baby. Amen? They don't go, oh, that baby's too heavy. I never hear a mother saying, this baby's too heavy. Well, there's times when they grow and they get a little heavier, yes. But when that baby is small, she's just so happy to be carrying around that little weight. We have one of the saints there in Juarez, Mexico, sometimes she's carrying both of her children in her arms. And I go, Sister Brenda, let me help you. She goes, no, it's okay. Sometimes I take the baby away from her and let me carry one of them at least. Because why? They're precious burdens to her. They're Amen. Precious. Amen? Yes. Do you find the commandments of the Lord to be a burden to you? I don't. I don't. I really don't. I find the world to be a burden to me.
Amen.
I'm sometimes sitting in a restaurant at McDonald's. I'm going, when did they start putting those TVs in this place? It's a burden to me. Sometimes I say, can you turn that thing off? The world is a burden to me.
That's
Amen?
Right. Amen.
When I'm trying to sleep and my neighbors have the music, this rap music and this worldly music going full blast, and I'm trying to sleep, that's a burden to me. Not the melodious, grace-filled, Holy Spirit anointed singing of the saints. That's not a burden to me. If it's a burden to you, you don't have new life from the Lord.
That's right.
You should be rejoicing when you hear the songs of the Lord. You should be glad. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It should not be a burden to you. It says in 1 John 5:3 that the love of God is to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous to who? To us, God's people.
Amen.
But they are grievous to the world.
That's right.
You start talking to the world about that they shouldn't be lying, and they get upset. You tell them that the Bible says that a fountain cannot give forth sweet and bitter water at the same time. That let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, as we're told in Ephesians. And they get upset. Because it's a burden to them to change
Amen.
The way that they speak, because they don't have Christ in them, the hope of
That's
glory.
Right.
They can't do it, and neither do they want to do it, some of them. Amen? Simeon lifted up this little baby, and it was a privilege to hold him in his arms. Is it a privilege to you to hold Christ in your arms?
Yes.
Do you know Christ? It tells us in the Gospel of John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible is Jesus, written down on paper. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. He lived it out. He acted it out. He lived everything that pleased the Father. But He left it written through men,
Amen.
Guided,
yes.
and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this Bible is Jesus too.
That's right.
We cannot divorce Jesus, the man, from the written word.
That's right.
They go hand in hand. Many people say, I believe in Jesus. Preach to me Jesus, but don't tell me what the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was the Word of God made flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
True.
Praise the Lord. I don't hear of Simeon complaining when he lifted up that precious life of Jesus in his arms. I'm sure they had to even say, we're fixing to leave Simeon. You can give him back to us. Oh, do I have to let go of him now? Oh, he's so pretty. Look at him. He's so precious. His beautiful hair. His beautiful eyes. Oh, look. He's going. He's just so precious. Is that the way you feel about the Word of God? Is it precious to you?
Amen.
Would you as a mother leave your baby abandoned in a corner for months, collecting dust and not feed it, not change it? That's the way people treat the Word of God. It's a burden to get up in the morning and, oh, I've got to be at work. It's a burden for them to sit down and read the Word of God.
Yes.
It's not a burden to me. I'm not lying to you. I get up in the morning. There's times when I have so many things to do, the devil tries to get me to do those things first
right.
and to sidetrack me. I can't say we as God's people, even though we're sanctified, we are tempted to try to be efficient and to leave the Bible sitting in a corner and go do what you have to do. But you know you're going to be less efficient?
Right.
With your grumpy attitude because you didn't spend time in the presence of the Lord. You're going to be less efficient at work. Yes?
That's right.
You're not going to be as joyful. You're going to be maybe murmuring
right.
because you didn't spend time in the quiet place reading the Word of God.
That's right.
Simeon didn't consider Jesus to be a burden. I pray that as it says in 1 John 5:3, the Epistle of John, 1 Epistle of John chapter 5 verse 3, that His commandments are not grievous to us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says that those that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Praise God.
If you really, really, really are a justified, sanctified saint, amen, the burden that Jesus has given you, or the privilege of bearing, you're not going to be grumping and complaining because, I don't like reading the Bible in the morning. I don't like kneeling down and praying before the Lord. It's going to be something you must do. Something I have to do. I have to do this first.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that the burdens of keeping God's word are not heavy to us. It's a burden. It's a charge. It's a commandment. It's a weight. But to us, true Christians, it's not a weight. It's a privilege. It's a joy to be one of God's children and to be separate and different from the world.
Amen.
Do you count it that way? If you don't, examine your heart today. I'm not condemning you. Examine your heart and ask yourself, why is it hard for me to keep the New Testament commandments? Why is it hard? Something is wrong. Maybe you haven't fully consecrated all. Maybe you haven't fully laid all upon the altar.
That's right.
Maybe you've sinned and you're not saved right now.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, am I, Brother Tony, but you're making me feel... No, it's so easy. If you're not saved, if you've fallen out of salvation, so easy. We heard about repenting. Go to the Lord. Repent and start again. Yes. Amen?
Praise the Lord. That's right.
It's possible to fall from grace. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 2:35. Let's go to Matthew 25, excuse me. Matthew 25:35. This is the parable of the separation of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus, the king right here, is speaking in this parable. And Jesus is saying in Matthew 25, verse 35. Who can read verse 35 through 36, please? Matthew 25, verses 35 through 36.
For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink.
Amen.
I was a stranger,
and ye took me in.
Naked,
and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Amen. Do you know this is talking about serving others?
Yes.
Is it a burden, a heavy burden to you to serve others? Do you enjoy sitting and letting others serve you? You know that Jesus said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. Amen.
Amen.
There's times that we can't do everything. Someone has to do this. Someone has to do that. But do you ever say, may I help you with that? Can I help you, sister, with that trash? Can I help you, sister, sweep the floor?
Yeah.
Can I help you, brother pastor, with some of your burdens? Or do you say, oh, I have my own burdens. I don't have time to help with the congregation, the problems of the congregation. It's a privilege. Jesus said, my burden is light. There were some people here that were given a burden, a hungry person, and they fed them. They were given a person that was thirsty, and they gave him water.
Yeah.
Jesus sent a person to them that was a stranger and had nowhere to live, and they took them in. We need to be careful with that. We don't want to take somebody in that is a drug addict that's going to steal from us, but maybe we can rent a room for them.
Yeah.
Amen? Maybe we can give them money for a motel for a week. Yes? We can help them somehow. Amen? Maybe we know of somebody that they can stay with. Amen? Or maybe we have an extra room. Have them spend a night or two with you. He said, they were naked and you clothed me not. Is it a burden to you to get rid of some of your clothing and to share it with some of the poor people? Is it a burden to you to go to the thrift store? I don't know what clothing costs here. But over in Mexico, you can buy some clothing for $1 each. $1 is worth 12 pesos and 50 cents or 13 pesos. It might be worth half of a lempera. You can buy clothes for half of a lempera if that's possible. They're in a big pile and you can go there. You know the size of the pile. You can buy them and then you can give it to the person.
Yes.
Amen. Are we clothing the poor? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is part of the will of God.
Amen.
That if we see our brother in need, that we help him somehow.
That's right, that's right.
If we see a sister in need, that we help him. Amen? That's God's will. We might not have $1,000 to give them, but we might have a pair of pants we could give to them.
Right.
We might have a bag of beans that we can share with them.
Amen?
Amen? When we go to the grocery store, we might buy another little bag of rice to share with them. Amen? Yes? Do you know who the person that was naked and hungry, the person that was thirsty, is in this parable? Jesus. Jesus. You know why it's that way? Because we as God's body are who? Who's the head? Jesus is the head of what?
Church.
Of the church. And what is the church? The body.
Amen.
And who's a part of the body? We are.
Right.
Amen? If this brother right here needs money for something and I have it and I see the need and I close my bowels of mercies to him, I'm not giving it to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? Because we are the body. Jesus is the head. God's people, everything we do to God's people is like doing it to Jesus.
Amen.
It should not be a burden to us to sweep the chapel.
Amen.
It should not be a burden to us to say, I'm going to save some money and buy paint to paint the outside of the chapel.
Yes.
It shouldn't be a burden to us.
Right.
We might have our own burdens and weights at home, but we could say, I'm going to take 2 hours of my time or 5 hours of my time and come and do something.
Right.
So that the house of God does not fall apart.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Talking about the physical building.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. We can help the pastor. We can help those in charge. Amen. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto
yes.
me. Is it a burden to you to help? Is it a burden to you to get up and give your testimony and to sing a song?
Yes.
Do you know when you get up and give a testimony and sing a song, you're doing something for the body?
Amen.
Have you ever sung a song and you see people crying?
Amen.
Or you give a testimony and people are weeping? Why? Because that did something for them.
Amen.
It relieved them of something. It,
yeah.
it helped them with their burden. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. These are burdens, cargoes, precious weights that Jesus gives us. Bear you one another's burdens.
Amen.
Helping one another.
Yes.
It should not be a hard thing when you see a need to say, let me help. Oh, may we not be lazy, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
May we not be slothful. Read Proverbs. It speaks about the slothful man.
Amen.
He went by the house of the slothful and the fence was falling down. The thorns were growing over. Why? Because he was busy doing other things and not
Amen.
Taking care of his responsibility. Amen? Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us to see the burden and the weights that others are carrying and say, sister, brother, can I help you with that? Amen?
Amen.
Yes? If we all did something, it would all be done.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
Don't leave it to one person or to people.
Amen.
That's not my position. Yes, it is. According to Jesus, it is. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me.
Yes.
Amen? I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Oh, I don't have time to visit sister so-and-so. I've got 5 children of my own. I know her husband is sick too and she's sick and she might starve to death. But I don't have time to take her over a couple of, what do you call your burritos here? Something wrapping a tortilla? But I don't have time to take her bariadas. I don't have time to take her a bariada. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you don't have time to take it, but you can make it and give it to somebody to take to her.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Bear you one another's burdens.
Amen.
Maybe you don't have time to paint her house, but you can go clean her kitchen for her.
That's right.
Or the bedroom where she's at. Bear you one another's burdens. Precious
Amen.
Burdens.
Yes. Praise
the Lord. Oh, God's commandments are not grievous unto us.
Amen.
We want to help in whatever way we can.
Right.
Jesus came not to serve, to be served. He came to serve.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And then something very sad that he said in Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. And in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying unto the Lord, when saw we thee hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Ye did it not unto me.
That's right.
That's why it's a precious burden.
That's right.
We're going to be judged by it.
Amen.
Whether we throw that burden off and say, I'm going to throw it over to brother so-and-so. Amen. Or to sister so-and-so,
yeah.
when you could be helping. Amen.
Yes.
I'm not condemning anybody because I don't know who does what and doesn't do what here. I've seen some of you working and I appreciate the meal so far cooked and the kitchen cleaned and many things that y'all have done to make us feel welcome here. Thank you so much for all that you've done. Some of you are bearing very heavy, precious burdens
yes.
of labor, working, and serving others, and we appreciate it. Amen?
Yes.
We've already quoted Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be ever taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we, do you want to please God? Do you want to be found pleasing in His sight? Do you want to keep His commandments? That's one of them. Bear ye one another's burdens.
Amen.
Amen. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. No, Simeon didn't throw that baby to the side and say, oh, he's so heavy. I'm sure he didn't even want to let go of Jesus. He wanted to keep on bearing him. Amen. In his arms. Praise the Lord. Amen. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here Mary had a pound of ointment. Have you ever thought about a pound, carrying it? It doesn't tell us how far she walked. What if she walked 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers bearing this burden? She could have said, it's too far and it's too heavy, I'm not going to do it. It costs too much. But she brought this little burden. It cost her something to carry it. And she brought it and broke it and poured it on Jesus' feet. Is there something that you are carrying today that you need to give away to Jesus? Something that's very precious to you, someone, some vice, some thing that glitters or shines and that you really love a lot and you know you needed to put it at the feet of Jesus and you don't want to let go of it? Oh, we can learn from Mary. From what I understand from history, from the customs, that this box of ointment, it was purchased by the woman that's going to be married, and she would take it on that night of the marriage, break it, and anoint her husband to be with it, or the one who had become her husband. She saved it for the one that was going to be her husband. Amen? And who did she pour it on? Out on Jesus. She was saying, I want you to be the bridegroom of my soul. I want you to be the one, the love of my life.
Amen?
Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you have something that you can come and pour out at Jesus' feet? That He's asked you to give up, to set aside, come lay it at Jesus' feet.
Yes.
It might cost you something. It's a weight you've been carrying around. Come and pour it out at Jesus' feet. Amen? This odor filled the whole house, and it was a beautiful fragrance, a beautiful odor. Thank the Lord. Amen? How thankful we are for those that are willing to pour it out all at Jesus' feet. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His commandments are not grievous, brothers and sisters. Children, do you find it difficult to obey your parents? Is that a burden to you? Is that something that gets on your nerves when mom and dad tell you to do something? And maybe you're going to do it later, but they want you to do it right now. And you say, I'll do it later, mom. I'll do it later, dad. And you never do it. Is that a burden to you? Amen? Is it a bad burden or a good burden to obey your parents? It should be a good burden.
Amen.
It should be something that when they tell you to do it, you should say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
Amen.
Where and how and when and how fast?
Yes.
Oh, Brother Tony, that's not normal. No, it isn't. For an unsaved child, that isn't normal. But if you're saying you're a little Christian, you need to obey your parents, to obey
Amen.
God's word. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Yes.
Obey your parents in all things, children. Amen. Maybe, I think I told this story last time I was here. I'll tell it again. I don't know if it was here or in the mainland. There was once a young teenage girl, maybe 15 years old. This is a true story. She had an argument with her mother. She wanted to go to a party, and the mother told her no. She could not go with those friends. They did drugs, and they drank, and she didn't want her going to that party. She got in a fight with her mother, and her mother told her, go to your room. Well, she obeyed in part. She did go to the room. But that night, her friends came at the window, threw rocks at her window, or knocked on her window. And she lifted up the window, and she got out that window, and she went to the party. Supposedly, nobody was supposed to ever find out. Her parents were not supposed to find out. She went to the party. She didn't obey her parents in all things. She went to the party, and I read about this in the newspaper. The next day, I'll tell you what I suppose happened. They drive down this dark alley after the party. She and her friends, they were now drunk and drugged up. I can just picture them opening the trunk, and they took out a gasoline jug. They were so out of it, stoned and on drugs, drunk. They didn't know what they were doing. They took the gasoline laughing, and they poured it on the young girl that didn't obey her mom in all things. And then they got a match. What do you think the young girl was thinking when they lit that match, ready to throw it on her? Oh, I wish that I had obeyed my parents in all things. Amen?
Amen.
They threw it on her. They found her in the alley, burnt, dead the next day. If that young girl could have come back, she would have said, "Oh, mom, it's no longer a burden to obey you.
That's right.
It's no longer a heavy weight. It's a precious weight. It's a precious thing that you asked me to do, mom.
Amen.
To obey you. Because now I know that when you tell me not to go there or not to do that, it's because you're protecting me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You appreciate your mom and dad when they tell you, I don't want you staying out past this time. I don't want you to go to so-and-so's house. Amen. You young children, are you saying amen? Amen. Obey your parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things. It's a burden, but it's a precious weight for you. Amen. Ephesians 5:22, it says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you are a sister Christian, you're claiming to be a saint, and you backtalk to your husband, and you complain and murmur, examine yourself. Go to your room alone and say, Lord, help me to get victory over this. Because if you're really submitted to Jesus with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the Bible says, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto Jesus, you're showing that you're not really submitted to Jesus by back-talking your husband and not doing what he says.
Amen.
Now, let's be fair. If your husband asks you to not go to the meeting, don't obey him. You obey Christ first. If your husband tells you, stop wasting your time reading that Bible, you obey the Lord and read your Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about normal things. Clean the house, cook, take care of the children. Do what needs to be done. Amen. Help your husband. Be what you're supposed to be. His helpmeet. Amen. Pray for him. Encourage him. Don't tear him apart in front of others and then expect for him to be nice and kind and loving when he finds out what you're saying about him in front of others. You say those good things about your husband in front of others. And if there's something negative you want to say, you tell your husband in private.
Yes.
Amen? Praise the Lord. This is a burden. Jesus said, my commandments are not grievous. This is a commandment of the Word of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. But we don't leave the husbands out either. It says in that same place, the verses above it, Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourselves one unto another. In the fear of the Lord. Submit yourselves one unto another in the fear of the Lord. The husband is supposed to submit himself to the wife too.
Yes.
Honey, the plumbing is not working. Oh, you figure out how to do it, wife. Well, if you don't know how to do it, husband, you hire somebody to do it. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
Wives, husbands, submit yourselves one to another.
Yes.
Amen? Yes? I know some husbands that the baby's crying and he needs a diaper change and he doesn't want to help. And the wife says, honey, I'm cooking. The water's boiling. The other child fell down and hurt himself. I need somebody to change the diaper. And he doesn't want to do it. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord has given you a burden as a husband and a burden as a wife. Precious burdens. Help one another.
Amen.
We can help one another. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
His commandments are not grievous. They're not too heavy for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. It speaks about modesty. Amen? Most of you know those verses. You've read them or had them read to you over and over again. Amen? It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Is it burdensome to you to hear me read those verses to you, women and men?
No.
Do you cringe when Brother Tony read about not wearing outward adornment? or being modest in your dress? I don't think so. I think most of you are very modest here. Amen? But are you wearing things that could look like jewelry? Buttons that look like jewelry? Watches that look like jewelry? Things in your hair that could be mistaken for jewelry? It says, let it not be the outward adorning. Amen? Is this heavy to you? The Bible says, his command, when Simeon lifted up the baby Jesus, when Mary bore the life of Jesus in her, I can't imagine her complaining. His commandments are not grievous to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to dress modestly. A person that really loves the Lord, they'll take off their rings, their earrings, their necklaces, their ankle braces, their nail polish. That's outward adorning. You're making yourself more adorned. The lipstick, the eyeshadow, the eyeliner. You'll stop dyeing your hair.
Amen.
You want to leave it the way the Lord wants you to have it. Amen?
That's right.
Yeah, there's women. I saw the other day a woman that was outwardly adorned. She had her hair painted blue. Another one had it painted pink. They both entered the store at the same time. That's outward adornment. Amen? The Lord made you just the way you are. Thank the Lord. Be satisfied with what you have. Amen? Thank the Lord for it. Oh, I'm thankful that it's not grievous to bear about in us Jesus and His Word. Amen? Thank the Lord. It's a joy to obey the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says in Isaiah 53, Jesus bore a burden for you and for me too. He bore it first. It says in Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 5, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. Who can read verse 3, please? We're in Isaiah 53, verse 3.
He is despised and rejected of men.
Amen. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Then it says in verse 4, surely He hath borne our griefs. See, He bore a precious cargo, precious weight, a precious burden. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Amen.
Can you imagine? Have you ever told anybody, I want to carry your sorrows? Give them all to me? Or you've said, oh, you can keep your own. I've got enough of my own. Jesus bore our sorrows.
Amen.
Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities.
Amen.
The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I thank the Lord that He bore our griefs and our sorrows and the chastisement of our punishment. There was once some little kids that were playing, in Spanish it's called La Roña. It's called the filth. And it's called tag in English. And they were playing tag, and that's when you touch somebody. They got the tag, and then everybody runs from that person. And you have to run in to get the tag off of you or the it. You have to touch another person, and they run with it. And it's a game I'm sure most of y'all played when you were growing up. Maybe some of your parents still play with your kids. Anyway, there was a handicapped young boy in the crowd. And somebody had run and touched him. And he was born handicapped, and he couldn't run very far, very fast. And he couldn't touch anybody to get rid of the it. And so he was going to have to remain the way he was, carrying the filth, the it, la roña, like they say in Spanish. And one little boy saw him. He was a compassionate little boy, and he came up to him and he said, you can touch me, I'll be the it for you, he said. He came to the little crippled boy, and he took it for him. Amen?
Amen?
I like that story because that's what I feel Jesus did for me and for you. We heard the testimony this morning about living in sin and living in horrible sin. But there's somebody that took that burden and lifted it up. He said, I want to be the it. I'll take it away from you. I know you can't. We were handicapped. None of us can make ourselves righteous. It says in Ephesians 2, not of works lest any man should boast. By grace are you saved. Amen? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You were created unto good works. That's what we're talking about. When you are saved, you were created unto obedience, unto good works. We can't take we can't take the filth away from our own selves.
Amen.
There are people that try going to psychiatrists and to this doctor or taking this medicine to try to get rid of the guilt. But there's only one that can take away this heavy burden from us. He's called Jesus. Jesus carried about a precious cargo, a heavy weight, a precious weight. He considered it precious because he was doing it for us. There was one time a little boy was carrying a heavy wood in his arm like that. And he looked like he could barely carry it. And the woman said, oh, you're carrying too much. Can I help you? She goes, no. The little boy said, no, my daddy filled my arms and he knows how much I can carry. Amen. We're so thankful that the Lord knows how much we can bear and carry. He knows. He's not going to ask us more than what we are able to bear. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that Jesus, the only one that could do it, came down and he bore the sins of the whole world. Amen. He bore precious cargo, precious weight, and he forever got rid of it. Amen? On the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood, being our substitute. He took your place and my place, the place that you and I deserve to take. We deserve the whippings and the beating and the nails in their hands and their feet. We deserve for God the Father to turn away from us and for us to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We are the ones that deserve to be forsaken. But Jesus experienced being forsaken that we might not be forsaken. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for Jesus who was willing to bear our own griefs and carried our sorrows. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's another burden or weight that's been given to the parents. It's a precious weight. That is that you raise your children in the way that is pleasing to the Lord. That you bring up your child in the admonition of the Lord. It tells us in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest in by the way. And when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Mother and father here, you parents, you grandparents, are you shirking your responsibility? You know that there are parents today, I know the saints don't do this, but there are parents today in the world that instead of obeying this commandment of the Lord and teaching their children what the Bible teaches, Bible stories. I once, for 3 years, played charades with my neighbors, and I tried to say, you know, David and Goliath, and do the sling or throwing it at Goliath. And they didn't know who that was. They were giving up movie stars and the TV shows, trying to guess who that was. They didn't know it was David and Goliath. Amen?
Amen.
Anyway, there are parents today that are shirking their precious cargo, their precious burden that the Lord has given to them, that they are to teach their children.
Yes.
They'll leave that baby in front of the babysitter, the television, that is teaching him how to lie, cheat, adulterate, fornicate. That's things outside of marriage that only married people are supposed to do. How to steal, how to murder, violence. They're shirking, they're setting aside their precious cargo, weight, responsibility that the Lord has given to them instead of them teaching them what the Bible says. And it's so beautiful that the Word tells us that we are to diligently teach the will of the Lord to our children. Talk with them. When you're walking, today would be when you're driving in the car on the way to school or in the bus with them. Instill the Word of God into them. Teach them how to forgive their playmates. Teach them how to be honest with the teacher. Teach them not to cheat in the test. Teach them to be honest. Amen?
Amen.
Teach them to be courteous and responsible and respect authority and the older people.
Amen?
Amen? Praise the Lord. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. It's talking about the bishops, the qualifications of these men that were supposed to be, had a position of responsibility in the body of Christ, the church. And it says, this the bishop was to be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with gravity. Yeah. Verse 5. We're in 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Amen.
Do you know that if you want to fill a responsible place, a place of to fill a need in the body of Christ, you want to be useful, But you can't control your own children. You're not going to be of any use in the body of Christ. Amen. First, take care of your home, and then come and take care of the church, the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We have a burden to teach our children to be quiet in the service.
Amen.
We have a responsibility to teach our children to stay sitting down in the service.
Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Not running around like crazy little animals.
Yes.
Amen. We have a responsibility of the Lord to rule well our own house. Amen. To rule his own house. Amen. To have his children in subjection. You know what a subjection means, mom and dad? If you tell him to do something, he's supposed to do it right away. She's supposed to do it right away. If she doesn't, at home in private, teach him how to do it right away. Take their little hand. There was a brother in our congregation that said he told his child to pick up the toys after he played and he didn't want to. So he got the child's hand and he went over to the toys and he got it. And he said, this is the way you do it. And he put it and he got him and took him again. Says, now you do it right now. Amen. Praise the
Amen.
Lord. If your child does not obey you after the first time, you're shirking your burden that the Lord gave you, this precious burden of raising your child. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that child should have one look. Do it now. They should do it.
That's right.
If they're not, you are shirking your responsibility. When that child goes to the law, he's going to disobey the law and end up in prison.
Yes.
At school, he's going to get in trouble because you didn't teach him how to obey.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That's a burden that the Lord has given to us as parents. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 14. This is talking to the women, but it applies to all of us.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. We'll start at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 34, we're in 1 Corinthians 14, 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It says in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that these things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, these were the women, and some of you know the custom, maybe in the synagogues, the men sat on one side, the women on the other side, and maybe the man forgot to bring the blanket of the child, and the woman would yell to the man and says, do you have the blanket to the baby? Across and interrupt the preaching. Amen. This talking to the women because the problem then was the women, they were causing disorder in the church, in the service. But you know, today sometimes it's the children. If this had happened, Paul would have said, I forbid the children to speak in the service, except to say amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
And then sometimes they don't say that. You're busy gossiping and talking, but you won't say amen and praise the Lord. But you sure do can move the lips to say other things. Amen? Amen?
That's right.
Parents, it's our responsibility to teach our children to be quiet. If they have to say something, to whisper it to you. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
We want to keep the Holy Spirit flowing and not to interrupt and be disrespectful in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a burden. That's a cargo that the Lord has given to parents. Amen? Praise the Lord. It also says in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Another thing would be is to be too hard on the child, too disciplinary, to be unfair, to beat them in a way that could hurt them. Do you understand? I know y'all do. I know that none of the saints are guilty of that. But if there's somebody here that you are mistreating your child and being unfair, this is for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Provoke not your child to wrath. Don't ask him to do something that he can't do, something that's unfair so that they can get angry. We only ask what's fair. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Moving quickly. Another, one last burden with a few verses to back it up. One of the things that we read a while ago in Peter was that we be modest in how we dress. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Leviticus chapter, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 7, one second here. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 19. This is the law, but I just want to establish and show that from the beginning, God wanted us to be covered up. Amen? In the law, God says in Leviticus 20, verse 19, "And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister." And if you read from verses 17 through 20, it says, "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness." Amen? One of the burdens that the Lord has for His people is that we be covered up. And I think in a place like in Honduras, it's hard to be covered up, huh? It's hot. But the Lord wants those necklines to be higher.
Amen.
Our arms to be covered.
Yeah.
Those dresses to be a little longer. If we sit down and too much is showing, you're uncovering your nakedness. Amen? That's the Old Testament. But let's go to the New Testament. Amen? Praise the Lord. It tells us about Jesus. In Revelation 1:13. It says that He was clothed with a garment down to His foot. Jesus was. It doesn't say that He was wearing shorts. Jesus was covered down to His feet. I'm not saying that your skirt has to drag the floor, but he was covered. Amen? And the teaching of the Word of God is modesty.
Yes.
To be dressed in a way that will not be embarrassing, a respectful way. Modesty means to be dressed in a respectful way, among other things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus, our example, was dressed with the garment down to His feet. Amen? Praise the Lord. We heard this morning about the Gadarene. Amen? It tells us that He was first running around cutting Himself in the tombs, and He was naked. And then later on it says, like we heard from Brother Jim, He was sitting and clothed in His right mind at the feet of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
When was He unclothed? When He had those evil spirits inside of Him.
Amen.
When was He clothed? When Jesus took residence in His heart,
yeah,
when He was saved. Amen?
Lord.
Do you know a sign of a saved person is that they're covered up?
Amen.
Now, there could be ignorance. You know that I came to the saints and I was wearing short sleeves? I never wore them this high because I felt uncomfortable, but I wore them up to here. But later on, when I understood that the Word of God talks about covering your body, I made my sleeves longer. My wife and I do not wear short sleeves anymore. My wife wears longer skirts now. Amen? Praise the Lord. My wife used to wear a neckline lower, she wears it higher now because that's tempting to the men. Amen?
Amen.
There's shirts that you can buy underneath to put underneath your clothing like the sister has right here. They can complement your clothes so your neckline is not too low. Amen?
Amen.
And you can alter all your clothing that way. Amen?
Amen.
The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's an honor, it's a privilege to obey the Word of God in
Amen.
Modesty, to dress in a way that is respectful, not disgraceful to the church of God. To God Almighty in heaven. Amen. One more thing, brothers and sisters, I hope you bear with me. Praise the Lord. We have a burden to be clean.
Amen.
The Lord wants us to have a good testimony in our neighborhood.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
What would you think of somebody that claims to be a Christian, but they have weeds growing up and the fence falling down and you walk into their home and it smells like a pig pen? It would not be a good testimony.
Amen.
The Gadarene, after the spirits were cast out of him, he was in his right mind clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. There was order in his life. Amen.
Amen.
Leviticus, praise the Lord, chapter 6, verse 11. "And ye shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. This was the burnt offering that was offered." They were to take the garments that they used to do this with, the ashes that they did this with, the burnt offering, and they were to carry it to a clean place outside the camp. Notice that God said a clean place. He wanted His sacrifice even discarded in a clean place. Amen? In the Old Testament, God has always been clean and orderly, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
He's not a dirty, filthy God.
Amen.
Some people have made the excuse, oh, some people say that, they say that holiness or godliness is next to cleanliness. And the Bible does not say that, no, it doesn't. But if you just forget about that little verse and go with what the Bible says, amen, holy people are holy in their heart.
Amen.
We're clean. We want clean thoughts, clean desires.
Amen.
We don't want hatred and envy and strife in our heart.
Amen.
We have clean hearts. But it affects us outwardly also.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Exodus 40, verse 4. "And thou shalt bring in the table and set in order." This was set up in the tabernacle of the tent. "And thou shalt put there in the ark of the testimony and cover the ark with a veil. We're in Exodus 40, verse 4. And thou shalt bring in the table and set in order. Who's saying to set in order? God. Set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. God's people are a people of order. You know, if you go to our home in a very busy day, you'll find a little bit of disorder. I'm writing letters. I'll have papers all over my table because you're working. That's okay. But do I leave it that way? As soon as I'm done writing those letters, I put everything back in their boxes and I put it away. Amen? You won't find underwear moving around on our fan in our home because I just threw it up over the air and it hit the fan and it's moving around. My wife and I cleaned houses and we saw underwear turning around the fan in one house we cleaned one time. It was so embarrassing. I had to take it off and discard it somewhere. You know, God's people are clean and orderly. We want to leave a good testimony to those around us. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is orderly. And if the Spirit of God is in you, you're going to want to be orderly. Amen? We're not going to talk about levels of cleanliness. We all have our different levels. Amen? Some of them are cleaner than others. We're not talking about that. But surely, what does it cost you to get a bucket of water with a little bit of disinfectant and clean the toilet with it? Yeah. How long does it take? 3 minutes? To throw in a little bit of bleach if you have it here or something and scrub the toilet?
Yes.
2 minutes? Amen?
Amen?
To clean your walls that are full of grease and slimy stuff hanging there that you've never cleaned out for years? To just get a basin of water with soap and say, I can't clean it all, I'm going to clean the kitchen first. What does it cost you? Nothing. It'll be a better testimony to those around you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Let's go to Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 11:44. God is a clean God and an orderly God. This is a burden, a weight, a precious weight. He gave them this weight, put things in order in a clean place in the Old Testament. We have it in the New Testament too. Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 45, we're in Leviticus 11:45, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
46, this is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and every creature that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 47, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. We're not under the law anymore. Thank the Lord that Jesus took this law and nailed it to the cross. We are under grace, not under the law. But this same God that had him not eat certain food because it was dirty, and had him eat other food because it was clean, was trying to teach him to be clean inwardly. But he taught him by outwardly things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 10, verse 10. Leviticus 10:10. We're almost done. And that ye may put difference between holy and holy and between unclean and clean.
Yes.
God wants us to just know the difference when something is clean and when something is dirty.
Amen.
You husbands, help your wives. Amen. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says that God will turn them upside down like a dish, when a man washes a dish. That God would do that. If God can wash dishes, you can too. If you come home and your wife is all the kids and she's had a horrible day and the dishes are piled up, you can wash dishes too. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to break your fingernails to wash dishes, man. I mean, you'll make it. You'll survive through it. Amen. Help your wives. Amen. Clean that yard.
Amen.
Clean your car.
Yes.
Amen. Be a testimony to those around you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. We're almost done. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. Titus 2, 5. Here's the New Testament to back it up. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. It's talking about now women, the aged women that are to teach the younger women, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice in this list of things that we're going to do so that the word of God be not blasphemed, one is obedient to your husbands, discreet, amen, and keepers at home.
Amen.
How do you keep your home? When we arrived, I found Sister Lisette, she was cleaning her room. She was putting in fresh sheets and the place looked so clean, she was keeping that room for the company that was coming, Lissette and I. And I'm sure she did all the other rooms that way too. The Bible teaches the women, this burden is primarily to the women, but men can help too.
Amen.
You can add to the burden by throwing all your dirty clothes on the floor instead of, you know what I do with my dirty clothes? You might think I'm strange. I put it in a hanger and I hang it in a certain place so my wife can take it off and throw it in the washer. I don't throw it in a corner on the floor. But if that's too much for you, get you an old box and throw your dirty clothes in there so when your wife goes to wash it, they're not all over the place.
That's right.
Amen? It's a shame if you're doing that. I don't know. I don't go to your home. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you're doing. But if you're doing that, that's what little children do. That's not what adults do.
That's right.
But you teach your little children not to do it either.
Amen.
You get them a box and teach them to put their clothes in there too.
Amen.
Amen? God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done crazily, upside down, out of order, misplaced, disorganized. Let all things be done decently and in order. All things. He was referring to the worship service, but all things is all things. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that the women, the older women are to teach the younger ones to be keepers at home. Keep your children. Keep your place with your husband. Keep your home in order. Amen?
Amen.
You might be saying, oh, I have dirt floors. I can't keep... My grandmother was born in the state of Chihuahua in Mexico. Rancho Charco de Perez. She had dirt floors, adobe walls. In the morning, she'd be waking up, throwing water in the dirt and sweeping it. There could be an orange thrown there. There could be some junk, and she'd clean it all up, and the dirt would be swept. If you have dirt walls, dirt floors, it's not an excuse. You can still be clean and orderly.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Keepers at home. One last verse. And we just read it just so you have the verse. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 is one. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. This is a burden, a precious way that the Lord has given to us as the saints.
Amen.
Right now, the Church of God, where the Church of God meets in Juarez, Mexico, we only have just a little cabinet like this. We could just have things scattered everywhere. We bought plastic containers or boxes, and we put the rice in this one, the canned food in this one, the napkins in this one. We have it organized.
Amen.
It's a poor house that we're renting. You don't have cabinets, you can get boxes. There's crates here, wood.
Yeah.
You can put it up. I've done it for the poor people in Juarez. Get them some crates, the fruit crates, and put them in organized things in your home.
Amen.
So when you're looking for that bill that you want to pay, you'll know exactly where it's at. You'll
be
organized and in order. Precious weights, precious burdens.
Amen.
Simeon, it was a privilege to carry that weight, that burden of Jesus. Mary bore the child in her womb. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a burden, a weight. What are we doing? Are we taking in things that are going to harm that child? That new life of Christ in us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord give us the strength to obey. May His word not be a heavy burden. May it be a precious cargo, a precious weight to us.
Praise the Lord.